Hello, fellow movie fans. I'm Lily Percy, and I'll be your guide this week as we talk with writer Jamie Berube about the movie that changed her life, Interstellar. If you haven't seen this movie, don't worry. We're going to talk about all the details you'll need to enjoy this conversation. And if you've seen Interstellar, get ready to be transported again. Although Interstellar is traditionally a sci-fi movie, it's so much more than that. It's a movie about love and the connection and bond that can exist between a father and a daughter. The first time I saw this movie, I couldn't believe the world that Christopher Nolan created. He wrote the screenplay with his brother, Jonathan Nolan, and together they created a universe that felt otherworldly. It felt like you were in space, but it also felt so intimate and close to home that it broke your heart as you were watching it.
What's going on, Merv?
Why did you and Mom name me after something that's bad?
Well, we didn't.
Murphy's Law.
Well, Murphy's Law doesn't mean that something bad will happen. What it means is that whatever can happen will happen, and that sounded just fine with us.
So the movie centers around Coop, played by Matthew McConaughey, this farmer, former pilot, who is also an engineer, also kind of just a jack of all trades, who is trying to save the crops on his land and in turn save the crops on the earth. The earth is dying and things aren't growing anymore. And so he gets this message from another universe, an alternate universe. And this message contains coordinates of some kind, coordinates that he decides to try to track down in order to find the origin.
Explain to me how you found this facility.
It's kind of hard to explain. We learned these coordinates from an anomaly.
What sort of anomaly?
I hesitate to term it supernatural, but it definitely wasn't scientific.
You're going to have to be specific, Mr. Cooper, right now.
It was gravity.
Oh, what sort of gravitational anomaly? Where was this?
Hey, no, I'm real happy as you're excited about gravity, bud, but you're not getting any answers from us until I get assurances.
Don't you know who we are, Coop?
No, Professor, I don't.
We're NASA.
NASA?
NASA. The same NASA you flew for.
At the time when Coop goes off on his own journey to find the source of those coordinates, his daughter is a little girl. But as he ages slowly in space, she ages in real time on Earth. We see her grow up and eventually become a physicist who's also working with NASA to save humanity and her own family.
Listen, if you're not gonna go, let your family go. Just save your family.
We'll go live underground with you. Pray that Daddy comes to save us.
Dad's not coming back. He never was coming back. It's up to me.
You're gonna save everybody. His dad couldn't do it.
Dad didn't even try! Dad just abandoned us! He left us here to die.
It's strange to think that at the center of a sci-fi movie, there is this emotional drama of a family. In this case, the father and the daughter, Coop and Murph. But it's the thing that really makes this movie transcend any genre. And that relationship, that ghost of the father that kind of carries Murph throughout her journey, that's the same thing that Jamie Berube felt in her own life. She lost her father when she was just a little girl. And when she saw Interstellar, she felt changed because for the first time, she realized that her father had always been with her. So think back to the moment you first saw Interstellar.
Okay.
And think back where you were, how old you were, kind of the feelings that came up for you when you first watched it. And I'm going to watch the clock, and in 10 seconds, I'll chime back in.
Okay.
So what memories came up for you right now?
The memory of walking out of the theater and, you know, noticing the tears on my blue jeans. I cried so much, and I'm not a big crier. I'm a very sentimental person, but usually it takes a lot for a film to move me that much. And I had tear stains on my blue jeans, and I was in California at the time. And I walked out, and I felt this immense sense of I'm ready to cope, and I'm ready to really accept, fully accept my father's passing. And not only accept that passing, but accept that he's not really passed. And I never in my life had ever, you know, interpreted or viewed his passing in that way. I always just thought, well, my dad's dead, you know, he died, and that's that. So it sounds, you know, very romanticized when I say this, but it was just like this awakening for me to realize that I'm an adult now, and I look back at my father's memory, and I can see that, just as in the film Interstellar, he's been with me this whole time. And it's such a simple fact and simple idea, but for me it was almost a spiritual experience, I'd say. And I just felt like it was a part of my, like a milestone of my adulthood, like finally coming to terms with the fact that, hey, you know, my dad might not be here, but he actually is here. And that for me was huge.
Because your father died when you're, how old?
I was 5 years old.
Wow. And, you know, in the movie, in Interstellar, Murphy, as a little girl, starts to kind of befriend what she calls a ghost, right? Someone who is communicating with her. And she's trying to analyze what they're communicating. And she has all these different moments that happen throughout her childhood where she hears and even sees this person communicating with her. So when, you know, you've said that all my life I've sensed the ghost of my father. You wrote that in the piece where you talked about Interstellar. So when you were coming out of that theater that night, what could you pinpoint moments throughout your life where you said that was him, that was the ghost, and he's always been here?
Oh, absolutely, yes. After seeing the film, I was at work once waiting tables, and I have a tattoo on my wrist, two of them. One of them is a fishing hook, because he was a fisherman, and it's in the shape of a J, obviously. My name's Jamie, and his name was Joe. And I was serving a table, and this father with his daughter, and I was having a really, really bad day and thinking about my dad a lot for some strange reason. And the man, and this was the first time I had a guest ask me about my tattoo, and he asked me about it, and I told him I got it in memory of my dad and all of that. And he looked at his daughter, and he said, her name was Danielle. He said, Danielle, why don't you turn over your wrist? And she turned over her wrist, and she had a tattoo of a fish in memory of her mother who had just passed 5 months prior. And I got chills, and I just thought, wow, that is just one of those things. And I kind of felt like in a way that was my dad's way of sort of winking at me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you wrote about the fact that when you first watched it, that it struck me like a dagger to the gut. It pierced and opened me up and exposed my insides in a way that felt as cruel as it did cathartic. I mean, that's powerful.
Well, yes. I have so many favorite scenes in that movie, but when I wrote those specific lines, I was thinking specifically of the scene where he's rewatching the messages that spanned over like 23 years.
Yeah.
And the scene where Murph comes on and...
I never made one of these when you were still responding because I was so mad at you for leaving. And then when you went quiet, it seemed like I should live with that decision, and I have. But today's my birthday. And it's a special one because you told me, you once told me that when you came back, we might be the same age. And today I'm the age you were when you left. So it'd be a real good time for you to come back.
And he's just, Matthew McConaughey starts bawling his eyes out. And I still, to this day, I can't watch that clip without crying. It's just,
yeah.
And that was where I felt like it was almost like a literal like pain, but it was like a good pain. I just felt like this, oh my gosh, like, wow. And just because seeing the emotion he felt watching his daughter and knowing that my father's watching me and knowing that if my father thought that I was in pain or thought that I didn't sense his presence, I know that that would be his exact reaction, would be weeping, tears of, you know, of wanting to communicate, no, that's not true, Jamie. I am not. I haven't left you. I'm here.
Yeah.
And I know that would be his exact reaction, and that's what pierced me so, so deeply.
I love when you're talking about that in that piece you wrote. You talked about how Interstellar forced me to confront the vastness of the void in my longing for my dad. But I can take comfort in knowing that the love that my father has for me is still here.
Yes. Yes, it really did force me to confront that void. And it's a void that I think a lot of people that grow up without fathers, which is not entirely uncommon these days, and it's something that you can choose to medicate however you choose. You can choose to ignore it. You can choose to dwell on it and be bitter or angry, which for a long time I was very angry. But it forced me to confront, how exactly am I going to frame my view of my father's death? Am I going to see it as, well, you know, he's gone and I'm just a fatherless girl now and I just have to accept that and move on? Or can I view it as something that can shape me and mold me and make me into someone who can look at that really tragic part of their life and say, that's a tragic part of my life, but it's also an incredibly beautiful thing that for a long time just was a barren part of my identity that I just kind of left there and just didn't want to confront or think about too much. But now I can not only think about it and dwell upon it, but I can write about it and reach, you know, talk to others about it and communicate through that.
I told you about my ghost. My dad thought I called it a ghost because I was scared of it. But I was never scared of it. I called it a ghost because it felt like a person. It was trying to tell me something. If there's an answer here on Earth, it's back there, somehow in that room. So I have to find it.
You know, so much of what makes Interstellar a masterpiece, you know, has to do with what we're hearing and seeing on the screen. But I also think about the dialogue, you know, the dialogue that's in that film. It's something that I didn't really appreciate the first time I watched it. Mm-hmm. But seeing it again this week, I was struck by how powerful some of the dialogue is in the movie. And a lot of it is from Cooper, from Matthew McConaughey's character. And I think about when he's saying goodbye to his daughter, to Murphy, as he's getting ready to go into space, and he tells her that a parent's role is to be memories for their children.
For their children.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious as to what lines and moments really spoke to you. I mean, you mentioned that when he first watches the messages 23 years later, that his kids have sent him into space. But what other moments and lines really struck a chord?
That's so coincidental that you mentioned that, because I wrote that line down this morning, that a part of a parent's job is to leave memories for their children. That was definitely one of them.
Oh, my God. When I first hear him, and I feel like I've seen this movie now, I think probably four times, and watching it this week, that one just left me, like, stunned. Yes. I never heard it before.
Yes. Yes. And honestly, I wish I could think of, you know, some sweepingly long, brilliant, because there are all so many brilliant quotes in that film, but the one line that is so simple that really just sticks with me is just when she puts it all together and just says, it's you. You never left me. You are my ghost. And in saying that, you know, the connotations we have of what a ghost is, it's not an entirely romantic thing.
Scary often, right? Haunting.
Yes. But the fact that she verbalizes, you are my ghost, and, you know, the way her face just shifts and changes when those words come out of her mouth, and just her gaze and just her body language in that moment, there's just so much beauty there. And I think that that one small clip alone captures so, so much. And then another quote, I think, I'm hoping I'm getting it correct, where he tells his father, the greatest role of a parent is to keep their child safe, and telling my daughter that the world might be ending.
He tells it to Dr. Brand. Yes.
Yes, yes, you're right. Okay. That's right. And telling my daughter that the world is ending, you know, wouldn't be doing that. And I think it's true. That is the greatest role of a parent, is making your child feel safe. And even at the expense of not exposing all of the details, or not saying this is the reality, not lying per se, but obviously protecting them from a truth that would horrify them and terrify them. And for me, that resonated with me, and just knowing that my father was an exceptional father. He was a wonderful father. And my mother to this day will say things, you know, if I've had bad relationships in the past with boys, my mother would say, oh, if your father was here, you know. Like, just knowing that he would sacrifice his own life in a heartbeat just to make sure we were safe always.
You have to talk to me, Murph. I need to fix this before I go.
I'll keep it broken so you have to stay.
After you kids came along, your mom, she said something to me I never quite understood. She said, now, we're just here to be memories for our kids. I think I now understand what she meant. Once you're a parent, you're the ghost of your children's future.
You said ghosts didn't exist.
Some of the themes that this movie has for me, I mean, you're naming them, you know, as we're talking about parents and the role that parents play in your life, and even about the idea of accepting that your parents aren't made for you, like just for you, that they have their own identities that have nothing to
right.
do with you.
Right.
I feel like the movie is really showcasing that, right? That like Cooper is his own person apart from just being a father. He's also an engineer. He's
yes.
he's an explorer and coming to terms with that. And then there's also the theme of like time, the fact that you can't fight time and the passage of time, and it's heartbreaking and sobering. And but I think one of the themes that never struck me as strongly as it did this week watching it again is the idea of love and how mysterious and pure and hopeful it can be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about this line that Anne Hathaway's character, Dr. Brand, says to Matthew McConaughey, to Cooper, where she says that love is the one thing we're capable of perceiving that transcends dimensions of time and space. Maybe we should trust that, even if we can't understand it yet.
Right.
And it's crazy to me that a movie that's about, that's like science fiction, right? That's the genre that you would categorize this, that this is really a love story.
It is.
That like love is what Cooper uses to find and communicate with Murphy when he's in the black hole, right? When he's trying to send her messages. And I wonder how Interstellar has shaped your own understanding or even definition of love.
Oh, it definitely shaped it greatly. And not just answering that because that would be the obvious answer.
Exactly. That's the pet answer, yeah.
But it truly did. As I wrote, you know, in my piece, it's love is not quantifiable. It's not measurable.
Yeah.
It's not a tangible thing. It's not the scientific. You can't feel it, touch it. It's not something that has a physical presence to it. And until you move into the idea of it does embody a physical presence, but it's all in how you choose to believe that love is physically weighs on us and in us and is within us.
Mm.
However, it's our choice of how we choose to channel that, use that, believe in that, trust in that, you know, respect that. And I think for me, it's helped me understand that love is as wonderful and as, you know, great as I just described it. It also can break your heart. It can
yeah.
also destroy you, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to understand and respect that love has both of those components, life-giving, but also can take, you know, life away when it's, you know, not reciprocated, or if you love someone or something so much and then it's gone.
Yeah. And I think there's something about this movie which is filled with scientists, right? And these big thinkers kind of putting words to that and saying that it's just as strong a force as gravity and continuously comparing love in that way. It almost like it gives a credibility for all of us who were kind of romantics and thinking about love in a different way.
Right. Oh, no, absolutely. I got the same exact feeling. It was such an interesting like little dichotomy there, the whole, you know, idea of all of these scientists coming together in the science fiction film, and at the end of the movie, you're not crying because of anything, you know, scientific or any, you know,
mm-hmm.
crazy, you know, adventure or something you saw that just really moved you. You're crying because you just see how emotionally broken down they become because of the theme of love throughout the entire film.
She's in love with Wolf Edmonds.
Is that true?
Yes. And that makes me want to follow my heart.
You're a scientist, Bran.
So listen to me. When I say that love isn't something we invented, it's observable, powerful. I'm drawn across the universe to someone I haven't seen in a decade, who I know is probably dead. Love is the one thing we're capable of perceiving that transcends dimensions of time and space. Maybe we should trust that, even if we can't understand it yet.
So I wonder, you know, as you've been processing and really reframing things in your life because of this movie, because of the power that Interstellar had on you, how it's continued to change for you, you know, how you have grown together with it.
Well, I love to rewatch it. And every time I do, I learn something new each time about the film and about myself and how it relates to me. And I think I could certainly say it's helped me mature. It has helped me communicate better, helped me talk about the death of my father a lot better. It's interesting. Mm. I was never really able to talk about it openly or comfortably before seeing the movie because it, you know, the circumstances of his death weren't very pretty. It's, you know, it's not something I get excited about talking about.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stigma around it, right? He died of a heroin overdose.
Yes, and it's hard. You know, people say, you know, their mom or dad passed of cancer or heart attack, and that's obviously very tragic. But it, like I said in my piece,
it's acceptable.
It rolls off the tongue easier.
Yeah.
And telling someone that your father died of a drug overdose, immediately you could see it in their face and their body language. They're like, oh no, did I just step on her toes?
Well, and I think they're also probably making judgments about him, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's the thing that's really sad is how often we do that.
Well, yes. And then the movie also helped me understand that, and I knew this all along, but it wasn't until I saw the movie that I was able to really put this all together. Is my father, you know, he did die of a drug overdose, but he was the most kind, gentle, loving man. He never hurt anyone. He was a fisherman by trade. He would be gone for weeks at a time. And the time that he, of his passing, heroin was very, very popular in Connecticut, where the neighborhood where we lived. And so it wasn't very uncommon to be using. And so it helped me understand that he wasn't this bad man. He wasn't this bad, you know, guy who was just, you know, just junkie who was high all the time, didn't care about his kids or my mother. I mean, he was entirely the opposite. And he had an addiction. He fought it hard. And he went to rehab several times. And he would write my brothers and I letters from rehab. And, you know, he tried. He didn't win the battle, but he fought very hard. And nothing, he never in his, I can't say that I've been told of any memories of him that have not been anything but just entirely positive and loving and great.
Hmm. Well, and it's what Interstellar shows us is that idea of the complexity of your parent, right? Which is, you know, in the movie, you know, Matthew McConaughey's character, Cooper, can be a good father and love his children and yet still leave them.
Yes.
And follow his career and his desire to explore space, which he's always wanted to do since he was a kid.
Right.
And your dad could be a drug addict, but also be a good father and love you.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And that's what he was. And the scene where he's leaving, you know, leaving Murph for the first opening scene, I guess it's within the first 30 minutes, and she's begging him to stay. She refuses to talk to him, and he gives her the watch, and then she throws the watch. I could imagine, you know, she's older in that scene. I was so young when my father passed, but I could imagine if my dad came and said, I'm going away for a month to fish, and, you know, if I had grown more attached to him, I would, because I am a very, my mother would say I'm a very stubborn, prideful person, I would have been very ornery and saying, no, you're not leaving me. You're staying right here. And so that's definitely how my dad was. And I would have, you know, behaved very similarly, but he would have, you know, done what he needed to do as a father and went on his way and knowing that he would hopefully come back.
It was me, Murph. How is your ghost?
I know. People didn't believe me. They thought that I was doing it all myself. But I knew who it was. Nobody believed me. But I knew he'd come back.
How?
Because my dad promised me.
I'm here now, Mark. I'm here.
Jamie Berube is a writer for Mogul and Deep South magazine. Her Mogul piece, He Was My Ghost, How Christopher Nolan's Interstellar Helped Me Cope with Losing My Dad to Heroin, is heartbreakingly beautiful and inspired this conversation, so definitely read it. Next time, we're going to be talking with my hero, Rubén Blades, or Ruben Blades here in the U.S., about the movie that changed his life, the powerful 1940s noir western, The Oxbow Incident. Find it on all of the usual streaming sites or at your local library. This Movie Changed Me is produced by Maya Terrell, Chris Hegel, Tony Liu, and Marie Sambalay, and is an On Being Studios production. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like listening. And special shout out this week to Marcia Appel, owner of the Green Lotus Yoga and Healing Center, based right here in the Twin Cities, which is where we call home, for her wonderful email to us. When she first heard about this podcast, she says that she knew that she wanted to listen, but that she waited until there were enough episodes out so she could dole them out like forbidden chocolates. Marcia's email was so thoughtful and poetic that I'll have to stop myself from reading the whole thing to you. Instead, I'll leave you with these last words from her. Movies do change us. They serve as meditations on what is and what isn't, and what is possible and also perhaps what is impossible. I'm Lily Percy. Stop what you're doing right now and watch Interstellar again, because it really is that good.